This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
Taking a look at your grain markets from the close on Wednesday, corn and beans were higher while wheat stayed steady. September corn was 1.5 cents higher to 364 1/4. December corn was 1 3/4 cents higher to 372 3/4. March corn was also 1 3/4 cents higher to 383 1/2. Soybeans for September were 3/4 cent higher to 853 1/2. November beans were 0.5 cent higher to 866 1/4. January beans were 0.75 cents higher to 879 3/4. Chicago wheat for September was steady at 472 1/4. December wheat was also steady at 475 1/4, while March wheat lost 0.25 cent to 480 1/2. Moving on to soybean meal, the September contract was 20 cents higher to 294.20. October bean meal stayed steady at 296.10. December bean meal lost 20 cents to 299.50. Finally, soybean oil gained 3 cents on the September contract to 28.14. October bean oil also gained 3 cents to 28.27. December bean oil gained 2 pennies to 28.47. Now to recap your closing grain futures from Wednesday on the Board of Trade, corn was 1.5 to 2 cents higher, soybeans were 0.5 to 3/4 cents higher, wheat was unchanged to down 0.25, soybean meal was 20 cents higher to 20 cents lower, and soybean oil was 2 to 3 cents higher. Now we'll move on and take you to the Department of Agriculture in Springfield for Wednesday's Cash Grain Report.
This is Wednesday's report of grain price and trend prepared by the Illinois Department of Agriculture. The Illinois country grain prices were higher on Wednesday afternoon. Corn and soybeans advanced on an announcement from Secretary Perdue at the Farm Progress Show that President Trump will be working on a plan to increase demand for biofuels. In northern West Illinois, country grain dealers quoted shell corn bids up 2 to 3 cents at 320 to 368. Soybeans are mostly steady at 5 cents higher at 789 to 812. In central Illinois, country grain dealers quoted shell corn bids up 6 cents at 347 to 372. Soybeans were 7 cents higher at 815 to 836. In the southern part of the state, shell corn bids were up 5 to 6 cents at 307 to 390. Soybeans were mostly 1 to 2 cents higher at 803 to 831. And wheat bids were mostly 2 cents lower at 441 to 472. Illinois soybean processor cash soybean bids were 7 to 11 cents higher at 834 to 871. Basis was steadied up 4 at 3200 to 5 over the November. High pro soybean meal on a truck basis offered at 282 to 299 a ton, up $2.50 a ton, with basis unchanged to 12 under to 5 over the September. Illinois corn processor cash corn bids were up 6 cents at 363 to 391. Well, basis steady at option to 28 over the September. Illinois River barge loading elevators coated to produce the corn bid 6 to 11 cents higher at 337 to 368. Well, basis steady to up 5 at 26 under to 5 over the September. Soybeans ended up 7 to 10 cents at 823 to 834. Well, basis unchanged to up 3 at 43 under to 32 under the November. Wheat prices were down 1 to 2 cents at 422 to 433, with basis steadied up 1 at 50 under to 39 under the September. East St. Louis barge loading terminal placer producer corn bid 6 to 8 cents higher at 353 to 355. These elevators raised their soybean prices mostly 7 cents. Quotations at 850 to 855, while soft wheat closed down 2 cents, 873 to 874, while Milo ended the day up 6 cents at 407 to 408. Contract bids producers for October and November delivery corn in the northern part of the state at 326 to 361, soybeans at 797 to 836. And in the central part of the state, corn for October and November delivery at 343 to 366, soybeans at 799 to 851. And in the southern part of the state, corn for October and November delivery at 311 to 381, soybeans at 795 to 834. And that concludes our report. This is David Humphreys with the Illinois Department of Agriculture.
Wednesday's livestock futures finished mixed. Live cattle for August were 32 cents higher to 105.07. October live cattle were 57 cents lower to 99.20. December live cattle were 72 cents lower to 104.07. August feeder cattle were 20 cents higher to 138.75. September feeders were 92 cents lower to 132.85. October feeders were 87 cents lower to 131.62. Finally, lean hogs were higher across the board. October lean hogs were 27 cents higher to 63.50. December lean hogs were 80 cents higher to 63.70. February lean hogs were up $1.12 to 71.22. So to recap your closing livestock futures from Wednesday, live cattle were 32 cents higher to 72 cents lower. Feeder cattle were 20 cents higher to 92 cents lower. And lean hogs were 27 to $1.12 higher. Now at this time, we'll take you back to the Department of Agriculture in Springfield to recap the cash livestock report from yesterday.
This is the Illinois Department of Agriculture with Wednesday afternoon livestock report. Starting with the National Daily Direct Hog Report, calculations for 200-pound park carcass traded $1.52 lower, in a range of $52 to $63, with a weighted average carcass price of $60.33. From the Illinois Direct Sow Report, slaughter sows prices were weak, with light to moderate demand for very heavy offerings. U.S. 1 and 3 grade sows under 400 pounds traded $22 to $26, 4 to 5 weighted $24 to $28. 5 to 6 weighted 27 to 30, and over 600 pounds, $30 to $32. In the Illinois direct hog trade, prices of barrels and gelts country buying points are $1 to $2 lower, with light to moderate demand for moderate offerings ranging from $37 to $43. Receipts for Illinois barrels and gelts have totaled $22,830. In the direct cattle trade, in the National Daily Direct Slaughter Cattle Report, choice steers and live bases traded at $103 to $108. And on a dress basis at $172 to $175. Choice heifers and live bases trade at $106 to $108. And on a dress basis at $171 to $175. From the National Daily Pork Plant Report, trading for retail and processing cuts was established with 308 loads traded. Calculations for 200-pound pork carcasses $72.01, which is $2.06 lower. From the National Box Beef Cutout Report, values for choice and select beef carcasses were trading mixed. Choice carcasses are $232.96, which is $3.80 lower, while select carcasses are $211.81, which is $1.10 higher. For the estimated daily slaughter under federal inspection, cattle slaughter was estimated 116,000, compared to 116,000 last week, 118,000 one year ago. Hog slaughter was estimated 485,000, compared to 482,000 last week, and 453,000 one year ago. That concludes our livestock report. This is David Humphreys with the Illinois Department of Agriculture.
And in ag news for this Thursday morning, Congress will renew its focus in just days on the U.S.-Mexico-Canada trade agreement, and hopes are increasing for a bipartisan deal to bring up the USMCA in the House. The USMCA means more than $2 billion in desperately needed new farm sales, but only if Congress ratifies it. Recently, House Ways and Means Committee ranking Republican Kevin Brady had this to say on the USMCA.
There's an urgency to this. Every year we delay, or every day we delay, excuse me, you know, it hurts our farmers, certainly hurts our workers in comparison to the current NAFTA. And I think there's just a desire to get this approved this year.
There's also a policy urgency with next year's elections. Brady discounts claims that House Speaker Nancy Pelosi will side with USMCA opponents in her party and keep the deal struck last year off of the House floor to deny the president a political win.
I think it actually is a win for them as well, because these labor and environmental provisions are something they've championed. I've been involved in trade a long time. I think I've worked on 12 of the 14 free trade agreements we have in place today. These are items they have championed for decades and have never achieved in a trade agreement. They're there.
And at the American Farm Bureau, trade advisor Dave Salmonson had this to say.
The return of Congress on September 9th. And that I assume that the face-to-face discussions with Ambassador Lighthizer and the congressional negotiators will resume.
Trade Ambassador Robert Lighthizer and congressional Republicans stressed the need for patience in working with Speaker Pelosi, who may be unable to provide a majority of Democratic votes for the USMCA. Senate Finance Chair Chuck Grassley says he'll work quickly to pass the USMCA in the Senate if it passes the House. And here locally, Representative Rodney Davis spent time Tuesday and yesterday visiting the Farm Progress Show in Decatur. He echoed the same sentiments that a vote on the USMCA is critical and would help farmers to get what they're looking for, and that's a market for their products.
They want to be able to have a market for their products, and they're really angry that we haven't seen Speaker Pelosi call for a vote for the USMCA. We've got to see more pressure from my Democratic colleagues in Congress, because what they've done is they asked for leadership. They asked to install Speaker Pelosi as the Speaker of the House. They set the agenda. This deal is a better deal than what the original NAFTA is. And because it's a campaign promise that is delivered upon by President Trump, they don't want to call it up for a vote because they don't want to give him a win. Mexico's ratified it. We've got priorities that Democrats have asked for decades. Better worker protection standards. It's a better deal. And it's crucial for Illinois because 40% of our Illinois ag products are exported to Canada and Mexico. And it's given China leverage to walk away from the table when they can't, they see a deal can't be done in the House of Representatives between Canada and Mexico. I mean, they're not going to sit there and waste their time knowing that a China bilateral deal has worse of a chance.
Representative Davis also commented on the potential deal with Japan that was recently announced this past weekend by President Trump.
Great deal, great opportunities. These are the types of bilateral deals, even the China one, that are possible when Republicans and Democrats work together in Washington. The administration, no matter what administration it is, Republican or Democrat, they set the trade deals. We get an up or down vote in Washington. That's where this USMCA is so crucial. It could be the linchpin. It gives America leverage over countries like China who have been trading unfairly, and it gives us a starting point to be able to get a deal on the floor of the House. I think it opens the floodgates. Once we pass USMCA, all Speaker Pelosi has to do, put it up for a vote. I guarantee you we'll get enough Democrat and Republican votes to send it to the Senate and get it to the President's desk.
And again, that was Representative Rodney Davis of Taylorville, representing the 13th District of Illinois. Also, the Illinois corn industry is getting the word out during this week's Farm Progress Show in Decatur. And one of the messages involves ethanol, says Ryan LeGrand with the U.S. Grains Council and Tricia Braid with the Illinois Corn Growers Association.
Ethanol. One word, ethanol. That's our top priority as ethanol exports these days. You know, ethanol is the fastest growing ag export for the last 10 years out of the United States. And we want to continue to see that growth. Last year, we exported 1.6 billion gallons of ethanol to the world from the United States. And the goal that we've established internally with our partners like Illinois Corn Checkoff is to export 4 billion gallons by 2022.
I mean, we know that when E10 is in use across the country of Mexico, it's the equivalent of doubling our corn exports to Mexico. So while we're sitting here struggling with prices where they are, access to markets, you know, in limbo, we know that there is light at the end of this tunnel, and it's as close as our southern border with Mexico. We really need to continue to value that relationship, and also to the north. Canada is an incredible trading partner as well. But there is a lot of opportunity in Mexico.
Both LeGrand and Braid also echo the sentiment that getting the USMCA ratified as soon as Congress returns from the August recess is a major priority. Also at the Farm Progress Show yesterday was Heather Hampton Nodal. I talked to Heather about the recent Breakfast on the Farm event held at her farm last week. We also talked a little bit about her role at the Farm Progress Show with the talks over the USMCA, and we also talked a little bit about her experience at the show with just being a farmer. Earlier this week, Heather, you had Breakfast on the Farm, and pretty big crowd you had there that morning. I'm glad to be a part of it. Was it as big as an impact as you thought it would be?
Oh, gosh, the Breakfast on the Farm was just wonderful. We had incredible support from the Hillsborough Chamber of Commerce, their board of directors. It was just incredible. Montgomery County Farm Bureau. I can't tell you how Nathan Clements with Country Financial literally helped us move gravel around ahead of time. And the turnout and the interest by the people who were there and their enthusiasm was really a joy. It was just fun. And the questions, the experience, the knowledge gained, I think so far we've had really positive feedback.
And that morning the weather was just perfect. It was 60 degrees for August, which is rare, but it was very good weather, and you also had the youth involved as well.
We did. It was so nice to have the support of the Nokomis FFA chapter. They had a trivia game patterned after Jeopardy that was, I got to stand in and watch some of the people respond, and they would split into two teams, and the winning team walked away with little tractors that Seavers and Sloan's, both Litchfield and Vandalia, donated. So it was really funny just to see the reactions of, woohoo, and, oh, I didn't know that. And just there were a few maybe retired farmers or people in the ag industry in the crowd on some of the teams, but they were very careful not to answer. But it was kind of fun. Sometimes they would whisper in somebody's ear and give them the answer.
And being here at the Farm Progress Show, of course, always on a professional level with things in agriculture, the big deal right now, of course, the USMCA and everything else involved. Of course, Secretary Perdue will be here. And what are you working today with USMCA?
Well, I started the morning at a breakfast with Congressman Davis, Shimkus, LaHood, Bost, and Secretary Perdue, where the U.S.-Mexico-Canada agreement was among many of the topics, but it was definitely front and center. And part of my mission, as I think many farmers are realizing, we need a win right now. We need some certainty, and this thing needs to get signed. So we're cautiously optimistic that come the return to session for Congress, that they may actually lead the bill to its passage and ratify it. We've seen the other countries. Mexico has definitely ratified it. I think Canada even ratified it within the last few weeks or is right on the cusp. It's our turn. And by doing this, what we do is we send a signal to other trading partners like Japan, we think is next in line. And there's some other unilateral discussions going on with other countries. But we send a signal to them and we send a signal to China, which is we're serious about trade and we will commit and follow through to what it is we agree to do.
And, of course, that was a big thing that everybody hoped would get done before the August recess. Of course, didn't get done. So here we're looking into the latter third and then all the other factors that play into that with 2020 being an election year. So hopefully here in the next 4 months that can get done.
Absolutely. It needs to get done. And I'm not much on politics. I love policy. Really like policy. I'm a total geek when it comes to that. But the politics and the partisanship, what I'm observing right now reminds me somewhat of 2012, whenever you had a House Speaker who had to manage the Tea Party conservatives, who had a significant number in the House, just enough to pull away any sort of caucus support. And I think that may be what we're seeing right now with Speaker Pelosi. This is not the same mix in her members of Congress that she had when she was Speaker previously. So I think she finds herself trying to figure out how the reins, not just pulling the reins in, but how the reins are fit right now on their team. And I think that may be part of what we're seeing here in terms of some delay and just trying to get the house in order, literally.
I guess moving on now to more of a personal level, a farming level, just being at the Farm Progress Show is pretty neat. What are a few things you've seen that just made you go, wow?
Well, part of it is the scale, right? So I saw this 2,500 bushel grain cart with tracks on it, and that's one of those take a picture kind of moments. But one thing I want to see and haven't made it to yet is grain bin managed with lasers. So we have a cabling system in ours that is really pretty technology forward and innovative, and it works wonderfully. But I'd like to take a look at that. And I am on the lookout to find some sort of drone that we could put like spot treatments for things like fungicides on, and that could scale up and support that weight or that load. And I haven't seen it yet. There's talk, and I'm kind of thinking this may be an innovation opportunity. So any engineers listening, let me know.
All right. Heather Hampton Nodal here at the Farm Progress Show in Decatur. Always a pleasure. A local business from the area is also on hand at the Farm Progress Show as well. Toby Talkington is Sales and Marketing Manager for Area Diesel Service, founded and based out of Carlinville. Here Toby talks about the history of the company, as well as what he sees will be happening in the future with diesel technology. Toby, being here in the Varied Industries tent with a whole bunch of other ag industries around the country, around the world in some cases, how long has Area Diesel Service been serving the ag community in Central Illinois?
Been around for about 46 years. We started off in 1973 in a little one-bay shop in Carlinville. We expanded from there in 1984. We went to Des Moines, Iowa and opened our second location. And in 2017, we opened our third location in Indianapolis.
And just through the years and through changes in not only agriculture but diesel mechanics, the innovations in diesel just keeps coming every year, every day almost.
Oh, absolutely. Things, they change and evolve, like you said, just about every day. 10 years ago, if you would have told me we could get the performance out of diesel engines, whether it be a tractor or a pickup truck that we're seeing today, I would have told you you were crazy. But, you know, they started out 160 horsepower coming from the factory, and now we're seeing, when we go to some of these events and stuff, 2,000 and 3,000 horsepower out of some of these pickup trucks. It's unreal.
And here today at the Farm Progress Show and over the course of the 3 days, what is Area Diesel Service, what are they offering here at the show for farmers and just even people throughout the country that may not even know about the company?
Well, we offer a whole line of diesel products, turbochargers, fuel injection pumps, and injectors. We do complete rebuilds in our Illinois location, where we also have a full machine shop with all kinds of advanced technology there. Today, well, through the whole show, we're offering some discounts and some specials, but you got to stop by the booth and check them out to see it.
And just, I guess, moving through the future for Area Diesel Service and anything else that they might be looking forward to, where do you see maybe Area Diesel in the next 5-10 years?
In the next 5 to 10 years, it's just going to keep growing. Like I say, the diesel industry is on fire right now. Everything from, you know, obviously your tractors and your semi-trucks, but even pickup trucks and passenger cars, everyone's going to the diesel because it's a lot cleaner. The emissions are great now. So I just see it just keep growing, I mean, in every aspect.
And then on a personal level, being here just as a member of the ag community to come to a big show like this, it has to be almost just awesome to see the new innovations on a personal level.
Yeah, it's great. You know, 25 plus years ago, I don't want to tell you exactly how old I am, but when I was in high school and, you know, I was in FFA in ag class, it was kind of cool to come in here and see it. But now to actually be a part of the Farm Progress Show is it's surreal. It's awesome, and I love to see all the new products here every year.
All right, that was Toby Talkington with Area Diesel Service in Carlinville and also two locations in Des Moines, Iowa and Indianapolis. Thank you so much. Moving right along now into state and local news, Illinois, of course, has the distinction of having two state fairs. The main fair in Springfield has wrapped up, and now the Des Moines State Fair is up and running. The show goes on the rest of this week, and Des Moines State Fair manager Josh Gross says he wants to see everyone coming to have a great time.
I look forward to seeing all of you with a corn dog in your hand some point throughout the next few days. If I don't, I will punish you, so please do that.
The fair in Des Moines runs through Labor Day. Moving right along now into local ag news, of course, lots of things going on in our local area as the unofficial end to summer is this weekend. Don't forget this morning at 9 a.m. we'll begin the two-day course for the Certified Food Handlers and Exam to be taking place tomorrow, Friday. That will be held at the U of I Extension office in Hillsboro. If you still need more information, you can contact the office, 532-3941. Moving on to events next week, of course, next Thursday, September 5th, will be the Montgomery County Extension conducting the yield survey of the area corn crop. That, again, will start next Thursday, starting at 8 a.m. at the U of I Extension office in Hillsboro. Volunteers will break into groups and survey across the county to estimate yields and will meet back at the Extension office by noon to share their results and enjoy lunch. The Extension will sample fields in each of the 19 townships of the county and will publish the results after they are compiled. Anyone interested in participating or sponsoring the event is asked to contact the Extension office in Hillsboro again at their number, 532-3941. Also happening next Thursday is the Linco Precision annual pre-fall get-together and fish fry. Andy from the main office will be there. Also, actual 2018-2019 OP grain management results will be on display, along with equipment. The dinner will consist of fish, fries, and baked beans. There will also be adult beverages and bags games to play. Again, this will take place at the farm of Skip Kleinfelter, 5.5 miles south of Nokomis, at 6 next Thursday. Skip would like you to know to please RSVP so they can have an appropriate amount of food available to the main office in El Paso at 309-527-6455 to Skip himself, 217-473-2471, Andy at 217-670-4435, or Alan at 618-713-4883. Also, roughly a week from now, the Montgomery County Farmers Institute and Household Science section will be taking place. Entries for the Farmers Institute will be accepted on Friday, September 6th, from 4 to 6 in the afternoon, and again on Saturday morning from 8 until 10. Judging of the entries will then begin promptly at 10 next Saturday morning. After all the entries are judged, they will be then available for public viewing at no charge. Participants should then pick up their prizes and entries beginning at 2 in the afternoon, but no later than 3 on Saturday afternoon at the Extension office in Hillsboro. Everyone that's a resident within Montgomery County is eligible to have entries in categories such as ag science, fruits and vegetables, flowers and plants, canned goods, fancy work and sewing, as well as the youth division that encompasses all of those subjects. You can refer to your 2019 Montgomery County Farmers Institute and Household Science booklet for rules and more detailed information on the classes. If you need more information, you can contact the Montgomery County Extension Office at 532-3941, and the booklets for the Montgomery County Farmers Institute are at multiple businesses around Montgomery County. Also, one last event going on in the local area a few weeks out is the Staunton FFA alumni that will be sponsoring their 13th annual tractor ride on Saturday, September 14th. Registration will begin that Saturday morning at 7 a.m. Coffee, juice, water, and donuts will be available. The ride will then leave at 8 a.m. with a quick driver's meeting before and also an opening ceremony. The ride will then make a stop for refreshments along the way to Marine, where the tractors will be on display, and lunch can be purchased at Phil's Chet and Rose's Cafe. Orders for lunch will be taken at registration that morning, so that will be ready upon their arrival. Passengers are also to take note that they are not allowed to ride on any part of the tractor unless in an approved buddy seat. You may not ride on any of the fender mounts. If you have any questions for the Staunton FFA alumni's annual tractor ride, you can contact Stacy Slifka at 618-781-7435 or alumni reporter Linda Niehaus at 618-402-2710. And that just about wraps it up for this Thursday morning edition of the Ag Show. But remember, as always, if you have any ag news you'd like to have reported here on the morning or afternoon Ag Show, you can send that to us at WSMI at WSMIRadio.com. So for this Thursday morning, August 29th, this has been Gabe Osborne reporting for WSMI Ag News.